We are continuing our series on be killing sin. Amen? Or else sin will be killing you. Dealing with remaining sin in our flesh. We've been glorified. I mean, we've been regenerated, born again. The real us is holy and spiritual. Born from above, born of God. We are new creations, new creatures, new creations, a species of being that has never before existed. That's who we are. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans 6 made the distinction in me, comma, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 6, 18, I think, and verse 17 said, it's no longer I who sinned, right? No longer I, it's no longer I rather, but sin that dwells in me. And then he makes a distinction in verse 18, me that is in my flesh. Because the real I doesn't sin. The real I, who's born again, regenerated, made in the image and likeness of God, a new species of being that is holy and spiritual, does not sin, doesn't want to sin. It's our flesh. If you can get a hold of what I just said there, know that we've already been equipped.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
To keep our flesh at bay. To not give in. Because the real you is spirit being created in the image and likeness of God. Lord, help us to get a hold of that.
Amen.
When we give in to our sin, I know it's rerun, but hear it again. When we give in, it's our spirit man, the real us, not taking its rightful place and saying, no, I buffet you, I bruise you, I, like a boxer, beat you black and blue and make you, right, flesh and body, my slave. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I buffet and beat and bruise my body and make it my slave. Notice the I, the real born again you, and the body is a possession. I know you hear that, but hear it again and again and again and again. Lord, let it sink into our hearts. We don't have to sin ever. Don't have to. We do.
Yes.
But we don't have to.
Amen.
Sometimes I believe we use the fact that we do sin as an excuse to sin. Well, to err is human. You know. Yeah, we're like, well, no, that's not, as children of God, we don't go there. No, yes, we got the Holy Ghost in us. We've been born again. We're a new species of being. And that being is made in the image and likeness of God. We are spirit beings with the power of the Holy Ghost residing inside of us. Remember, when where God the Father is residing in the person of the Holy Spirit is inside our spirit. That's why he can witness and communicate and testify to our spirit this, that, and the other. Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit witnesses and testifies to our spirit that we're children of God. That's how he communicates to us. So he's always counseling. He's always advising. He's always coaching. Boy, boy, help us to listen to him.
Yes.
Every day, we ought to be taking steps close to every day to be more like him, to be more like him, to be conformed more and more to his image and to his likeness.
Amen.
Amen. Having said all of that, that's why this, I think, is a blessed subject matter to keep reminding us we are to be fighting sin all the time. If you aren't going forward, you're going backwards.
That's right.
If you're not killing sin, sin is killing you. There is no middle ground. If you think again about the first half hour of Private Ryan, there was no middle ground. Either you were being killed, either you were shooting at the enemy, or the enemy was shooting at you.
Right.
Thank you. There's no middle ground.
Right.
The devil doesn't put his, sort of, quote unquote, his guns down, if you will. He doesn't stop firing missiles. He's always shooting those missiles. I believe, I won't be dogmatic about it, but I believe that those missiles are aimed directly at your mind. Because the mind influences what you say and the mind influences what you do. You first make it up in your mind that I'm going to say this. Or you make up in your mind that I'm going to do this. And that's why James 3 and 1, I believe it is, says that if we can control the mouth, we can control the whole body. If we can control the mouth, we can control the whole body. Well, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And that in the Jewish Judaistic culture, the heart is the mind, the seat of emotion, the ability to choose and so forth. So that's all in there. So Jesus is saying from the heart, from the mind, from your inwards, come what you say. And it influences what you say. And then what you say influences all what you do. Proverbs also speaks to that as a man thinketh. Notice it says thinketh in his where heart. See, that's all in that culture. That was all the same. Heart, mind, so is he. Those missiles, those fiery darts, flaming missiles, are aimed at our mind. And that's why we have to obey Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Amen. Having said that, let's turn to our three opening scriptures for this series, Be Killing Sin. Colossians chapter 3 is the first opening. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians 3 and 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. The NASB has therefore considered the members of your earthly body as dead. Literal Greek should read this way, by a once for all act, and do it at once, put to death the members which are upon the earth. By a once for all act, do it at once. I think that's the aorist tense, I believe. Put to death the members which are upon the earth. That is a command. Put it to death to immorality. Put it to death concerning impurity. Put it to death concerning passion. Put it to death concerning evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Put to death, the ESV has it. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put it to death. That's an active, right? Active means what? No, that's present. What does active mean?
Always.
No, that's present. You're doing it. Yeah, got you that time. Because I always say present first. Present, active, imperative. But this one's like aorist, active, imperative. Active means you're doing it. Passive means something is happening to you. Active, you're doing it. Why do I stress that? Because nobody else can't come into your life and put to death the deeds of your body. It'd be great to just turn on a robot, vacuum cleaner that go around?
Roomba.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's called a Roomba?
Roomba.
Okay. Yeah, that we don't have a Roomba. There's no spiritual. That's come on to clean up your body and you just sit there passively while it's happening. No. It's active. And this action that we're to take, we're to be actively doing it until we die. Which I had a better news for you. That you know when you hit age 60, you're going to be all good. No. No. It doesn't happen that way. Glory be to God. Look at Romans chapter 6. So we're to be putting to death by a once and for all act.
Verse.
Thank you. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans 6 and 12. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not allow sin in your mortal body. This is present active imperative. Now, what's present? Right now. Ongoing. Active.
You're doing it.
Imperative.
Command.
Thank you. Lord, please let these tenses get in there because it's for a reason. Right? It's letting us know that. Now, the reason, and by the way, if you were taking notes on the other one was aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T, aorist, active, imperative. When it says a once for all act, and at once, do it at once, put to death the deeds of your body. So that's Colossians 3:5. That is aorist, meaning it's a one for all completed action, and you're to do it at once. Put to death the members of your aorist, active, you're doing it, imperative, gives a command. Here, this is present, active, imperative, meaning it's going on. Therefore, in the literal Greek, it's therefore stop allowing sin to reign. It's happening. It's ongoing. Stop doing this, says the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul to the saints at Rome. The city of Rome. Stop doing this. We need to take an inventory within ourselves and ask us, is this for me right now? Am I allowing sin to rule as king, as supreme in my mortal where? Body. So notice again, not you, right? Not you, but the body that you possess.
Amen.
Remember, sin expresses itself through the members or instruments of your body. So when the thought comes up from your flesh, it starts screaming, I want to see that, or smell that, or hear that, or touch that, or taste that with the senses. I want this now. You're screaming and hollering. The flesh has dictates, demands, cravings, desires. They can be strong. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to keep our bodies at bay.
Amen.
To keep it in submission. It's a daily fight. It's all day, every day. Thank God we've been equipped properly to kill sin. Amen. Verse 13, and do not go on. This one has that present. Do not go on presenting. It's already happening. Stop letting sin reign. Stop presenting the members of your body, right? Arms, toes, feet, everything else, as instruments of unrighteousness. Stop going presenting. Notice your body doesn't have a mind of its own. Notice he's talking to the real you, the real I, the spirit being, the born again, the new creation in Christ Jesus. When he's saying, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body, notice he didn't say, stop letting or allowing sin to rule as king in you. You caught that? He didn't say in you, it's in your mortal body. Again, Apostle Paul, I beat my body. I beat my body. I, the real you, I'm in control of it. I got to do that. Same thing here. You, remember when I know you notice my English scholars, just a reminder, when there is an imperative, when it gives a command, close the door. The subject is not expressly stated, but it is implied. You close the door. So here, when he says, stop allowing sin to reign your mortal bodies, he's saying what? You, the real you, stop doing that. And in verse 13, and do not go on presenting them. You don't continue to go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but instead go on and present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. Aren't we alive from the dead?
Amen.
If you're born again, you are raised from the dead. Ephesians 2 and 5 said when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he has resurrected us, made us alive together with Jesus. Incredible verse. By grace, this was done. Present your members to God. Present your members to God as those alive from the dead. And your members as instrument of righteousness to God. In other words, word of life, it ought to be obvious in your lifestyle that you are a Christian. Because you are presenting your members to God as proof that you are alive from the dead. Does that make sense? Turn over to chapter 8, verse 13. I don't mean to take this long on the foundation text, but amen. Romans 8:13. For if you are living according to the flesh, notice if you're living, meaning you're ordering your lifestyle, what you think, speak, and do as a force of habit, as a way of life, according to the dictates and the desires and cravings and the demands of the flesh, you must die. Talking about the second that we're getting a little bit more. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I love the key phrase in there. Now we understand how we are to be killing sin by the Spirit. It's not any of our strength, of our grit your teeth anointing. It's not anything we can bear down and do. I'm going to do this. No, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. But thank God, if you're born again, he's residing already on the inside of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Ain't that good news?
Yes.
He's already residing. You don't have to go get him. Hold on a minute. I'm fresh out of Holy Ghost. You got to come back tomorrow in the morning. Come here, get early because he leave by noon. No, we have him residing inside of us all the time.
Thank you, Lord.
I mentioned folks would say, I wish I was back in Moses' day. I think I mentioned this to you before. Parting Red Seas and throwing down stuff and turning into reptiles. And oh, that's incredible. Yeah, but Moses would say, well, I give a 1 second to live in your day. Because the God that he led us externally. Us, in the new covenant, we have God living on the inside of us. Give me 1 second, saith Moses, of your time. Yep, he said they're like oil painting because we still like the spectacular things. But it is a greater miracle that God is living inside of us. In Jesus' name. So we're putting to death. But if you by the Spirit are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And you can this is just the third opening. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, and so forth. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Having said that, let's go back to our steps to be killing sin. What steps can we take to be killing sin now that we've been commanded to kill sin, a once and for all completed action and being done at once? One, abstain from fleshly lusts. Two, don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, watch and pray. And five, the fifth one, take up the sword. This is where we're picking up today. All that was reviewed. Now we're picking up the fifth one, take up the sword. The fifth and final step for this series is take up the sword. And what's implied, obviously, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For that, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that if you abstain from fleshly lust, run away from it, turn your back on it, that if you don't provide the flesh anything to feed on, you starve your flesh. And if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means to be clothed in his nature, his thinking, his way of living, doing, and being, and if you are watching, always on guard, and praying so that you don't enter into temptation, meaning enter into a temptation that can overwhelm you, and you're praying and watching for that, and you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you will be killing sin constantly, consistently, and continuously. Verse 6, 17 rather, of Ephesians chapter 6. And take the helmet of salvation and what's implied, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why the fifth step is worded the way it is. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Don't you love the complete explanation, the completeness of the word of God? You don't have to wonder what the sword of the Spirit is,
right?
Which is the word of God. The words, let's dig into this for a few moments, because this is such a pivotal verse. The sword was a 6-inch to 18-inch sword that was used in hand-to-hand combat by the Roman soldier. 6 to 8 inches. In other words, 6 to 18 inches. In other words, it was used for close fighting. Right up in there. Hand-to-hand combat. There's another sword, Bramphia is the Greek word for that one. That was the broad sword, the long sword, where you can do more damage from a distance. This is not that sword. This is Machaira, the up close. Get in there, and that's a, when you're talking about fighting up close, well, you better be on guard and be ready. I believe that the Holy Ghost used that word through the Apostle Paul on purpose. That's why I make that distinction. It's a much more dangerous conflict when you're combating close, face to face. There's no room for error, to be honest with you. There's no room for error. Lord, help us to get the fact that you use the dagger like hand to hand. To keep focus. Can you see how watching and praying would then fit into that? Mm-hmm. You got to be on guard. I have to be on guard. We all have to. So this sword is close. Not the long, broad one. The next phrase is the sword of the Spirit. Or in the Greek, the sword which the Spirit supplies, or the sword supplied by the Spirit, and is spiritual in nature. Right? It's not natural. It's not physical. It's on the 2 Corinthians 10. That the weapons of our warfare are not, we'll get to that, are not natural, physical. But they are a carnal, all of that. But it's spiritual.
Right.
So this is the sword of the Spirit, or the Spirit which that provides this sword and supplies it for us. Thank you, Jesus. And what is a sword that the Spirit provides? The Word of God. Now, I won't be dogmatic on it, but I found where one commentator wrote in the definition, or in his comment, which is the Word of God. He says it refers to the spoken Word of God. Now, I like that. I'm going to go with that. I won't be dogmatic, though. But the spoken Word of God, I'm going to tell you why in a moment. Not just the written word, not just the commands of God as written throughout scripture, comma, But the word as taught, as preached, for the purpose of understanding and applying it to our daily life. And you see why that would beat up Satan. The word can be written and the commands are in there, but understanding comes from hearing the word of God. Remember that Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So the word as taught and then understood and then applied to our daily lives is what does damage to Satan. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the word. One commentator wrote, the preached gospel, comma, the power of God is the weapon provided by the Spirit for meeting the lunge of the assailant and beating him back. Meaning, you remember, we're up close. So when you both are going at it, spiritually speaking. You know, when he lunges, he said, when he lunges, you can beat him back by using your sword to lunge back at him. You kind of see that word picture, that play there. That he lunges and you're lunging. Our lunge has more power in it because our lunge is with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we'll see this lunging, if you will, in the person of Jesus when he was on the Mount of Temptation in Matthew 4. We'll go over that. Jesus said, it is written. Satan came back with, it is written. Jesus said, it is written. Back and forth. So the commentator says that the preached gospel, which is the power of God, is the weapon provided by the Spirit, capital S, for meeting the lunge of the assailant, almost Satan, and beating him back. Good news, though. Look at Romans 1:16. I know you heard me say it, but I want you to look at it. Look at Romans 1:16. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is the power of God. Romans 1:16. Great news. That's not just good news. It's great news. The only offensive weapon we have and the only one we need is the word of God, which is the power of God. Look at Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it, the gospel, is the power of God. Do you see that? I know you read it 100 times. I dwell in repeating and saying the obvious. I major in being Captain Obvious. It's the power of God. When he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that they're saying, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the power of God. Satan has no answer when the power of God is wielded correctly and used accurately. The power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Remember, the preached gospel is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. You got it? All right. For the word of the cross, is that the same thing as the gospel? That's another name for it. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, meaning the sinner. They don't get it. 1 Corinthians 10 and about verse 15 says that the word is spiritually discerned. Well, since the word of God is spiritually discerned, then the sinner, those who are perishing, can't understand it. Why? Because their spirits are what? Dead. So they can't understand it. So it's foolishness to them. That's why when you're talking to your family members, you know, nephews and sons and people out, they just don't get it. Okay, I see. Let me just be quiet and pray. Because if you're living right in front of them, and I trust that you are, you've seen them regularly and so forth, and you're living right in front of them, there's a lot of seed being planted just through your lifestyle. But unless God intervenes, they won't understand it. But that's okay. You keep living it. And when he prompts you, speak it. Amen? That's how you do that. You can't convince your nephews and your cousins and sons and daughters and friends and relatives. You cannot convince them apart from the power of God. Nobody could convince you. No one could convince me. We needed power. And the person who prayed for us, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. That was God who put us on their mind. It was God who sent his ministering angels to whoever talked to you and me. That was all God. For by grace, unmerited favor, no goodness of our own, unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor, have we been saved. So realize that for your cousins, uncles, aunties, friends and enemies, nephews and all of those. Realize, mothers, that it is the power of God. So where do we come into that? You can definitely always live right. You can always pray. And when prompted, speak. And when prompted, speak. For the word of the cross is foolishness, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1, to those who are perishing, but to us who are alive and raised from the dead, who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do you see that? Lord, help us to get a hold of what we got in our lap. On our phones, you got to say that now, this is new age. What we got on our phones and in our lap, it's the power of God. We need to put down, if you will, our human / natural / physical weapons. Put that down. Why? Because killing sin is spiritual warfare. Natural weapons in this fight are powerless. They are useless. They are inadequate, ineffective, and insufficient when it comes to our killing sin. That's why you can't therapy it away. You can't buy it away. You can't sleep it away. You can't talk it away. No. There's only one weapon. One weapon. And that is the word of God, which is the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. Lord, help us to get that. Help us to get that. That's incredible. We got to keep saying the word of God is the power of God. That's amazing. That's why sin has to go. He got to get up out of there. That's why your flesh will, you can control your flesh. It's going to scream. Your flesh is unredeemed. My flesh, your flesh, our flesh is unredeemed. It's going to, it don't want nothing to do with God. Excuse bad English. It want nothing to do with God because it's unredeemed. It's unredeemed. That's why I keep telling them, even as a Christian, because of your flesh, you give into it, you are capable of doing anything. Just like the sinner. Whether perverted, distorted, murder, I don't care what it is. You saw 1 Corinthians 5 where the son was having relations with either his mother or his stepmother.
Thank you.
So, just look at the church of Corinth. All kind of stuff was going on. They were getting drunk at the Lord's table during the communion. My Lord, getting drunk. Please understand that when we look at other folks like and we sort of arrogantly say, wow, that's terrible. Wow, I would never do that. Galatians 5:1, if a brother be over, either 5 or 6:1, if a brother or sister be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore, put him back in the rightful place because they're dislocated, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and humility. You do that. Why? All the while considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we can never go and say, I would never. Yes, therefore, but by the grace of God, go I. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing how the Lord brings both Sundays teaching in this one. You can get in trouble being arrogant and blowing. Remember we talked about being blown up, inflated with pride, and then boast about it. Hey, that would never be me. Well, you better watch yourself, because pride goes before destruction. Sooner than words fall out your mouth, now you looking crazy, just like Brother Man was 2 weeks ago. And oops is not going. It's not going to get oops. Wow, not going to get it. Not going to work out. We got to keep guard. Remember, go back to step 4. Watch and pray. And when these temptation comes, you're not overwhelmed by them, because God, whenever He allows a temptation, He blesses. It doesn't make a difference whether God tests you or the devil tempts you. It doesn't make a difference. God's allowing all of it. Why do you say that? Because He will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond your ability to bear. Meaning, you are not supposed to fall to it. Either way. Come on, somebody. We don't like that. It's not about rebuking the devil and I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go and get your holy oil and start throwing it out in the air and spraying it with all kind of crazy stuff. And the devil's sitting back laughing. Because that stuff don't bother me, He's telling you. It's the word I can't deal with. That's the last thing you're reaching for, because these old crazy churches, excuse me, are teaching you to speak to the devil. Bind them. And get all these ritualistic phrases that do nothing. Because none of that is commanded in Scripture. You pull out the power of God and stab them multiple times. Because it's in close fighting. You got to keep going. Every lung and keep going. This is war. This is what, like you ain't seen. This is war. Oh, come on, preacher. It don't take all that. You get a little bit too dramatic, aren't you? I thought God is love. See, I had to watch myself because I'm gonna show that this collar do come off, and you gonna see ugly. We want to just broad stroke God under the love. Thou shalt be nice. At the expense of the first 10 commandments. Forget those 10. Just go to 11. Thou shalt be nice. It doesn't even exist. God is love. And the God of love said that we are to be killing sin daily. That's what He said. Stop allowing sin to reign in your mortal body. That's what the God of love is commanding us. Sir, ma'am, brother, sister. Amen. We must be about the business. Killing sin. Because natural weapons, binding the devil, speaking to the devil, those are natural weapons. They're powerless, insufficient, useless, inadequate, ineffective when it comes to our killing sin. What a time just flew. We'll stop there, Word of Life. In Jesus' name, we'll stop there. Father God, I just beg You to write this word on the fleshy tables of our heart. May we be about the business of killing sin on a constant, consistent, and continuous basis. Help us realize that we're in a war. And thank you for giving us the strategy as to how to fight this spiritual war. Thank you for proper information, because we need to have it, because Father, many of your real children and pastors are teaching wrong tactics. Making the word of God almost an afterthought. The word of God, Father, is really coming in second to formulas and speeches and phrases. There's no power in saying to Satan, "I bind you in the name of Jesus." There's no power in telling the devil, "I command you to desist and cease in your maneuvers." There's no power in that, Father. That's weaponry that's used, that's waging war according to the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Yes. Father, we'll walk in faith and victory when we obey your word and use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Father, I want to thank you. I want us as your children to understand that all of the armor is frontal. It's all frontal. The front is protected because we're never to turn our back and flee, ever. We're always moving forward with the Machaira, the small sword. We trust your word. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. Help us to get that. Your word is the power of God. It's your power in action. Please help us to get that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.